fresh, gorgeous assortment of flowers. I bring them home and set up mason jars. Then I'll arrange each one for a friend and attach a simple thank you note to each one. I keep their individual tastes and preferences in mind, making a gift I know they'll love. As a final touch, I always hand-deliver them to the people in my life who I want to thank. It's a way to make others smile and to show my sincere appreciation. But of course, you don't have to do what I do. There are lots of ways to express your gratitude. Bake some cookies, write some letters, frame a picture of you and your friends together. You'll be having fun and spreading more concha into the world. Develop gratitude for your character. When you feel you have nothing to offer, remember you always have your character. In my early 20s, I went through a period of feeling lost. I remember calling my parents with my head down to say, "I'm really sorry, but I need your help." Dad and I packed up my things, loaded them into a U-Haul, and moved me back to my parents' house, without a plan. I had never felt so low, and wondered if things would ever get better. Instead of feeling sorry for myself, my dad encouraged me to start filling my resume with volunteer and community work. He told me that being of service to others would help me to appreciate my own path. Soon after, I attended an event at my local bookstore for a book written by two teachers. The book detailed the number of people in both our community and the nation who were forced to live on food stamps. After the event, I met a few women who invited me to work at a local breadline in Encinitas, California, where I began to help out 2 days a week. My dad was right. It felt good to give back and connect with those in need in my local community. To go from the mounds of food and drink that came along with my former life to the contrast of the food bank, where so many people had to wait in line for something to feed their families, was eye-opening. That gap was wide, and understanding it was a very powerful moment for me. That experience began to deepen my gratitude and my character. From where I stand, I am grateful for those past struggles and setbacks. I'm grateful for those times when my bank account was overdrawn, when I had no apartment or job. I often think and reflect on these times as a reminder of how grateful I am now. I can now look back and wonder, had my life never fallen apart back then, would I be who I am today? Probably not. That's kintsugi, the restoring of one's life. Being of service is an ongoing part of my gratitude practice. Now, much of my charitable work is focused on hunger and better nutrition in my community. Whatever cause speaks to you, I encourage you to give back however you can. You may find, as I have, that it is an essential part of being your community. Togetherness. Isho. In Japanese culture, meals are a sacred time for a family to sit down and eat in each other's company. Isho means together. It can also mean one place, same time. Growing up, my dad always said it to my mom, like when they were going to Costco, as a term of endearment. Before each meal, it is customary to say, "Itadakimasu," which pays gratitude to every part of the meal, and every person who was involved at any point with the creation of the meal. We would thank our parents. Typically, we would thank mom for cooking the meal, and thank dad for being a provider. At the end of each meal, you conclude by saying, "Gochisousama deshita," meaning, the meal was delicious, and sending thanks to the chef. Growing up, it was rare for us to eat apart. Japanese families often travel together as well. Each time I would travel to Japan, my mom and I would make daily trips to the market to cook and eat together at Ba-chan's house. We felt very lucky when my Ba-chan and my great auntie Takuko, her sister, joined us. The older I've grown, the more I've come to value togetherness, especially with my sister, my mom, my dad, and my best friends. Cultivate sincerity. When I think about Japanese culture, there is one word that always comes to mind. Sincere. I talked about the importance of sincerity in wishing someone 気をつけて, but it extends to all parts of life. To me, sincerity means connecting with someone in the most authentic way, where your true self acknowledges his or her true self. It is about communicating with honesty, about acting in accordance with your beliefs, about having the other person's best interests in mind because you truly care. It is having moral integrity. When we practice kancha, we are opening our hearts, allowing ourselves to feel gratitude, and sparking something beautiful. But the key ingredient to kancha is sincerity, putting your heart behind everything you say and do. Be sincere when you pay a compliment to a coworker about the presentation they made. See how you feel inside when you sincerely tell your girlfriend you haven't seen in a month how glowing and gorgeous she looks. Think about your work. Is it meaningful? Do you love to tell others about it? Does it evoke emotion, change? Does it create time and space for you to be sincere? When you say good morning to your work colleagues, how sincere are you in your delivery? Is it possible that you could create some changes in your daily life to evoke more sincerity? Try not to practice false gratitude. If you don't feel it, don't say it. Everyone wants to feel loved, needed, and part of a community. You have the power, the capacity, the life, and the breath to be this person in everyone's lives. But in order to do so, you have to be sincere. Be positive, be complimentary, be the sunshine in people's lives. And before you know it, that light will shine back onto you. Remember, you cannot simply pick up sincerity at the corner market, nor can you master it in a week. It takes work, inward searching, and struggle to give you the experience that allows you to authentically relate to others. This is another way the cracks that become part of us throughout our lives are really a gift. Kintsugi is life experience, and life experience allows us to have deeper, more meaningful empathy for one another. Practice gratitude for the past. In Japanese culture, it's customary to respect your elders, and part of this practice is rooted in gratitude. Honoring your elders includes spending time with them, listening to their stories, and learning from them. Wisdom from our ancestors is one of the best gifts we can receive. Instead of trying to rewrite a new theory wellness, we can learn from our wise ancestors who are all too happy to hand it down to us. Wellness isn't found in supplements or diets. Wellness isn't something you can buy. True wellness can be found by studying our past and our traditions. I wish that westernized culture looked at our elders in a special light, the way I observed people in Japan do. We must learn to accept their gifts with gratitude. Whenever people ask me the question, if you could invite anyone to dinner, who would it be? I always say my grandparents. I wish I could have one meal with both my Japanese and Polish grandparents. I was so young when they were with us, and there was a language barrier. We would laugh and cook together, but I never got to ask them the questions I would ask them now, about their lives growing up, about Poland and Japan during the war, about the stories that held meaning for them in their lives. If you are lucky enough to have elders in your life, do not take them for granted. Instead, practice kancha and be thankful for the wisdom they can offer. I'll never forget my 70-plus-year-old female guide, Noda-san, who took me hiking on the beautiful island of Shikoku. She had visited all 88 temples on the long and arduous pilgrimage more than 26 times. I asked her how she felt about the rigors of her job, and she just looked at me with her deep, sincere eyes and told me, "Candace, I love my job, and I am so proud of what I do. This is not uncommon in Japan. the people I met all had similar reactions to my question. The couple I met and interviewed in the Noto Peninsula, the Maekawa family, have produced traditional hoshigaki, dried persimmons, for decades, just as their parents and grandparents did. When we asked the husband if he was ready to retire, he just laughed and said, "No, I'm not ready to retire. When I am ready, I will pass this practice on to my nearly 60-year-old son, and he will take over the business." He was filled with gratitude for his lineage and his heritage, and took deep pride in his work. Watching the older generation at work, the light in their eyes, their dedication to detail, perfection, and integrity, has a way of making you feel you should work harder. Many generations of Japanese people have chosen to dedicate their whole lives to their work, and they sincerely derive joy from a job well done. We must learn from this older generation, show our respect, pay homage to them, and pass along these traditions of sincerity, respect, and heart. 10. Osettai, welcoming gifts. The last stop on my most recent Japanese journey was Shikoku, the smallest of Japan's four main islands and a sacred place to which thousands make an annual pilgrimage. Known as the Ohenro Pilgrimage, this 88-temple journey through the Shikoku Mountains is at the top of many Japanese people's bucket lists. The true pilgrimage consists of a visit to all 88 temples, where a pilgrim will pray and have their prayer book stamped. Beyond that, however, there are no rules. Simply showing up and starting to walk qualifies one as an Ohenro pilgrim. Traditionally, the pilgrimage is made on foot, which takes over 50 days. Some people, less than 5%, still do it this way, though most modern pilgrims make the trek by car or bus in less than a week. Recently, following the popularity of the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage in northern Spain, more Westerners have taken an interest in Shikoku's arduous trail. However, given the distances involved and the relative remoteness of the destination, one can still go several days along the journey without meeting another non-Japanese pilgrim, which is what I think makes it so cool. Prayer books are important on the pilgrimage. These beautiful books are filled with many red ink prints and are considered to be very valuable. As I started my pilgrimage, I met a few Shikoku locals, Yuka, Yuki, and our amazing guide, Noda-san. The locals are consistently warm and welcoming to foreign pilgrims, offering them small gifts and words of support along the way. My new friends were no exception. Since I had never been before, they invited me to join them and offered to be my guides. As we began to travel up the hills to our first temple, they first shared the term, Osettai. They told me the term is local to Shikoku and refers to the gifts pilgrims receive along their journey. In this case, the gifts aren't only material things, but also the warm welcome one receives and the hospitality these traveling pilgrims encounter along their journey. They explained to me that even the sunshine on that particular day could be considered osettai, since it made our hiking conditions hospitable. Whenever the world gives you a day of sunshine, that is osettai. Allow yourself to bask in it, as gifts are to be enjoyed and appreciated. The greatest takeaway from my journey was not a material souvenir, but a new spirit, rooted in the understanding of what it means to be a gracious host. My guides showed me that any form of hospitality counts as osettai. Hosting friends or family members is osettai. Helping a grandmother walk up the mountain, or even just across the street, counts as osettai, because it is a gift to help ease someone's journey. Giving up your seat on the train counts as your daily osettai, As Yuki-san explained, osettai also includes warm wishes sent to people or that people send you. Maybe someone cannot go on the pilgrimage together with you, but they entrust you with their wishes, and thus go on the pilgrimage through their osettai. In your own life, simply praying for others to have a safe journey can be part of an osettai practice. It was plain to see how osettai, gifts, invitations, warm welcomes, is so rooted in the way the people of Shikoku live. This beautiful spirit of generosity creates a feeling of warmth and joy whenever you are around them. My time in Shikoku was transformative. This leg of my pilgrimage included only 5 temples, but I plan on visiting all 88 on another heritage trip. Customarily, Japanese women do not show emotion, especially in public. Yet, on my last day of the pilgrimage, at Zensuji Temple, the 75th temple and birthplace of Kūkai Kōbō Daishi, the founder of Shingon Buddhism, something remarkable happened. Yuka, Yuki, and I all looked at one another and were immediately overcome with tears. Feelings of joy, sadness, and separation came upon us. Although we had only spent a few days together, I had learned so much and felt so bonded to them. Every day, osettai. In your daily life, osettai can take many forms. Osettai is a gift you give to the world through sharing what is most unique and honest about you. For me, it is my writing. The author, Marianne Williamson, who has given me a great gift with her words, encourages us to share our osettai with the world. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine, as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Marianne Williamson, A Return to Love. As I've discussed, my heritage and upbringing were different from those of many around me. But it is through these differences that I have come to see and appreciate how beautiful and unique we all are. No matter who we are or where we come from, every single person has a viewpoint that is theirs and theirs alone. Every one of us has something different to offer, with different talents we bring to the table. Remember that you, exactly how you are a gift. Share your truth with the world, as it is valuable. Here are a few ways to practice osettai. Share your talents. Sharing your talent with others is a wonderful way to practice osettai. Host a workshop, coach a team, lend your skills, do a favor for a friend. Donate your crafts or your famous cuisine. If you're able to choose a career where you get to exercise your personal gifts, it will bring your life fulfillment. It may also point you towards your deeper purpose, known as ikigai, in the process. I can promise you, your life's calling will become clearer and more fulfilling when you become of service to others. Share your knowledge. As I've watched my mom do for my entire life, educating others is one of the greatest gifts you can offer. Teach a class. Volunteer as a tutor. Knowledge empowers everyone, and the benefits are immeasurable. Or educate yourself. Why not enrich your life, right now, in this very moment? Sign up for that class you've always wanted to take, or check out a book on a new-to-you subject. Share your home. As the people of Shikoku demonstrated, acts of hospitality bring joy to both the giver and the receiver. Host your friends or family for a home-cooked dinner. Invite an out-of-town friend to stay with you. Give someone a walking tour of your favorite neighborhood. Or simply take a friend to experience your favorite local spot. Share your heart. Not all gifts can be seen. Others can simply be felt. Just as one would offer a Shikoku pilgrim, share words of encouragement wherever you can. This can take the form of guidance or assistance to someone who is struggling. Or it can be unprompted. Tell a colleague you think they're doing a great job, or thank your family members, roommate, or significant other for the things they do well. This book is my osettai, my gift to you. When you are in need, if you are struggling, feeling stuck, experiencing heartache, or just short on inspiration and light, I hope these words bring about a new way of thinking or living. I hope they will help create an opening for you, to inspire a new start where you embrace yourself and the unique story that has made you who you are. As I said at the beginning, each of these practices are just that, a practice. They will help you continuously, and you will improve every day. But you're going to have to keep doing the work. These principles will serve you as golden repair during each and every part of your life. Following the concept of Kaizen, you may strive to always be better, but perfection will never be found. If you find yourself chasing perfection, I urge you to tuck that feeling away and stay on the course. Remember the principle of Ganbatte. Always do your best, but remember that your best is good enough. Not only is perfection impossible, imperfection is beautiful in and of itself. Remember the philosophy of wabi-sabi and look for beauty in unexpected places. Imperfection is the natural order of things, the fleeting nature of autumn, the changing color of the leaves, and yes, the flaws in every human being. If you find yourself in a tough spot, but you cannot do anything to change it, shikata ga nai. Don't torture yourself over what cannot be helped. Stop, breathe, and let it go. When you need someone to help pick you up, look to your yuimaru, those who make you feel good, those who have your best interests at heart, those who love you just as you are. Be at peace with where you are on your journey. Practice kansha and have gratitude for everything in your life, for the people, the experiences, and the opportunities. Take good care of yourself. With proper self-care, you'll be able to practice gaman, great resilience. Above all else, see your life through the metaphor of kintsugi. Each and every one of us has times when we feel broken. And trust that your cracks will mend and make you even stronger than before. See these golden seams as the beautiful reminders of a life lived. Heal in your own way. Move forward in your own time. And celebrate how everything you've experienced has brought you to this moment in your story. You'll get to where you want to go. But in the meantime, trust that you're exactly where you're meant to be. I wish you all the very best. Kyotsukete ne. Explore Japan, the land of the rising sun. The land of the rising sun is the inspiration for this book and the place where my story begins and ends. So I couldn't resist sharing my favorite Japanese travel destinations. Though it's a small country, close to the size of California, there truly is so much to explore. The changing seasons and vastly different terrains within Japan make it exciting to go any time of year. Everywhere from Niigata in the north to the southernmost island of Okinawa. Hokkaido is up next for me, as well as the full 88 temple pilgrimage in Shikoku. I hope to visit even more of the country over the course of my lifetime, to be reminded of the practice of kintsugi again and again from the true masters. Koya-san, nestled deep in the mountains, surrounded by nature, temples, and radiating peace. Koya-san is about 2 hours south of Osaka in Wakayama Prefecture. Life seemed to stop when I went to Koya-san, a place where I could finally have a moment to myself. With its abundance of fresh air and serenity, Koya-san tops my list of most magical places to visit in Japan, and even the world. Years ago, my sister and I met up in Osaka, and from there traveled by car, train, and cable car to our first temple stay in Koya-san. It was a bit cooler in temperature from the city. Simply gorgeous. Truly a dream. Be sure to hike on the many historical trails and check out the wild hydrangeas when they bloom in midsummer. Pray. Meditate. As you walk through the Okunoin Cemetery, try the local Shōjin Ryōri cuisine, the devotional cuisine eaten by Buddhist monks considered sacred, simple, and in harmony with nature. I had the best walnut mochi, kurumi mochi, in Koya-san, and our meals at the temple where we stayed were some of the most memorable of my life. Koya-san is a holy place, a place to respect and cherish. I'd especially recommend looking into a temple stay, where you can participate in morning prayer sessions with the monks. At 6 a.m. each day, my big sister, Jenny, and I would wake to join the locals, monks, and other visitors in sacred ritual prayer. Because such a beautiful place is hard to keep a secret, visitors to Koya-san have increased significantly, resulting in unprecedented crowds, particularly during the spring and fall. Although most visitors are welcomed and are respectful of Koya-san's history and cultural significance, there is growing concern that should this trend continue, much of the atmosphere of peace and harmony will be lost. Koya-san is a magical place. I hope we can all show our children one day. My prayers for Koya-san are that we continue to keep it peaceful, clean, and harmonious for many decades to come. Shikoku Island. The least populated of Japan's four main islands, Shikoku has much to offer visitors, including gorgeous scenery, a Buddhist pilgrimage, delicious noodles, and some of the kindest, warmest people you'll meet in Japan. In Shikoku, the concepts of Osettai and Gamam are practiced every day. This is indeed the Holy Land, where I was educated on Osettai, as we made our way into the mountains and were welcomed with gifts and hospitality. For many Japanese people, completing the 88 temple Ohenro pilgrimage is at the top of their bucket list. Walking the entire 750-mile path is not common. Many walk a few days a year over holidays from work until they've completed the circuit. It is also common to wait until retirement and then take a week-long bus tour to make the journey. There are no rules here. Simply showing up and starting to walk qualifies one to be a true Ohenro pilgrim. The lovely women from Discover Shikoku, Yuki, Yuka, and my amazing guide, Noda-san, taught me and my heart so much. I will never forget them as we laughed, cried, and hiked sections of the Shikoku pilgrimage together. Iya Valley. Located in central Tokushima Prefecture, part of Shikoku Island, this incredible hidden gem in Japan is not, yet, very well known to the American public. I found it to be the most naturally beautiful and peaceful of all the regions I visited. I sampled delicious homemade soba and fried tofu, went for hikes, and snapped dozens of photos of this gorgeous valley that seems to have been forgotten by time. The locals I met took me on a tour to view their farmhouses on the steep hillsides where farmers must contend with the challenges of working on land more vertical than horizontal. One highlight of my time in Iya Valley was seeing the village of dolls, where one woman has populated the once thriving village with over 300 life-size dolls memorializing her former neighbors, who have since moved to bigger cities or passed away. They appear to wait at the bus stop, run the local cafe, repair the electric lines, and attend the local schools. It's an incredibly touching experience, highlighting the effects of population decline in Japan's remote countryside, and it is impossible to observe with dry eyes. Matsuyama. Matsuyama is the capital of the Ehime Prefecture and the largest city in Shikoku, yet maintains a quiet and relaxed vibe. It's home to the famous Dogu Onsen, a section of town known for its healing, restorative waters that flow through dozens of bathhouses and traditional inns, attracting visitors from all over the globe looking for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. The local farmers harvest everything from rice to sweet potatoes, mikan to kumquats. This region has an extremely temperate climate, and it's not uncommon to get two growing seasons for many of the main crops. Hiroshima. My solo trip to Hiroshima was one of my most memorable and emotional visits to Japan. My heart, my heritage, and the history of Japan and the U.S., they are all deeply intertwined at Hiroshima. I came to learn and feel the past, the story of U.S. and Japan relations, as I toured the grounds of the Peace Memorial Museum and saw the Genbaku Dome, the last building standing after the bombing. I reflected on the deep scars of the war. I visited the original hospital grounds where the atomic bomb was dropped. I walked along the T-shaped bridge that was used as a target for the U.S. Army. I saw the watches and clocks at the museum that had stopped at 8:15 a.m. They are imprinted in my mind and heart. Visiting this site as a proud Japanese American was difficult and emotionally charged, but it has always been part of my life's calling. Hiroshima is steeped in devastating history, and the people there are some of the most resilient in the world. They look to the future while always honoring the past. They are masters at Gamam. We have much to learn from them. I highly recommend going to visit Hiroshima to view a city that has overcome and has become a living form of kintsugi. Miyajima. Miyajima, known as Island of the Gods, is a magical place in the northwest area of Hiroshima Bay. The Itsukushima Torii, or floating gate, of Miyajima is stunning. During high tide, it appears to gracefully sit on the water, while during low tide, it's accessible by foot. You'll be captivated by the scenery, the wild deer roaming around, the fresh seafood, and their memorable momiji manju, sweet local treats made with adzuki bean paste and a pancake-like crust. Miyajima is a happy place, great for kids or to visit as a couple. I hope to head back soon to see the stunning historical Torii Gate in the water once again. Beppu. My mother's hometown and the place I call my second home in Japan. Beppu is located on the southernmost island of Kyushu. Mom was born in Beppu in 1950, a place where you can still find homemade ramen, mochi, and senbei, crispy rice crackers, gorgeous parks, and, of course, the onsen, natural hot springs. It's the place where I first experienced hot springs, my ba-chan's cooking, my grandfather's artwork, and my mother's true spirit. There's everything from world-famous Kyushu ramen, Mom takes us every year, to homemade soba, to the beautiful Beppu Bay, and Takasakiyama, the beloved mountain of monkeys. I've been going there since I was 5 years old, and still can't get enough of this small, adventurous, and beautiful hometown spot. Please visit and check out the local ramen. The spots in the alleyways are best. Chill at the onsen all day and just relax. We welcome you to come visit Beppu. Nara. Nara was once the capital of Japan, and many of Japan's oldest traditions originated there, such as the Japanese tea ceremony and sumo. A variety of different customs, materials, and practices were introduced to the Japanese via the Silk Road in Nara. Located close to Kyoto, Nara offers so much to visitors. The people are welcoming, warm, and extremely proud of their land. I was able to visit during the fall and was captivated by the golden fields of susuki, pampas grass, known as Soni Kōgen, Soni Plateau. The most memorable meal I had was a Japanese nabe, hot pot, made with milk, fresh soba, and locally grown greens. Everything we ate here was a reminder of how to practice eyoshoku, nourishing your body with intention. I was lucky enough to spend time in the company of a local ba-chan and try her delicious homemade rice crackers, treats, and tea in her home. I visited some local farmers, and we harvested fresh greens together. Next time I visit, I'm looking forward to seeing the local friendly deer who roam the temples and who are seen as messengers of the gods. Noto Peninsula. Off the main path and into the country, Noto sticks out from Ishikawa Prefecture into the Sea of Japan. Farming and fishing are the main industries, and the people living there still follow a traditional Japanese lifestyle, as they've done for generations. Farming, socializing within their local communities, praying at the neighborhood temples and shrines. This is where I met Yamazaki Sensei and the memorable Maekawa family, who still dry persimmons, locally known as korogaki, with love and passion for their craft. I will always remember my first time seeing korogaki being made by hand, the way that their family has practiced for centuries. I learned much from the people here, that hard work is never ending. Kaizen. And if you find something you love, take pride in it. Okinawa. Referred to as a blue zone due to the robust health and longevity of its residents, Okinawa is located close to 600 miles south of Kyushu. I was completely captivated by this magical tropical island and its people, traditions, food. It's a place that has weathered an incredible amount of change through adaptation and resilience. The people of Okinawa are some of the most loving and open, hardworking, and happiest people I have ever met in my life. The local cuisine is one of my favorites in the world. Okinawans cook with a surplus of brightly colored fruits and veggies. My favorites are imo, sweet potato, goya, bitter gourd or bitter melon, homemade tofu. This is the best in Okinawa because it's lightly salted and made fresh daily. The fresh, bright dragon fruit, and their local miso paste, which has a distinctly different flavor than traditional Japanese miso. I will always remember my Okinawan friends, Mari and Hiromi, who showed us around their hometown of Tamagusuku. Tamagusuku, a small seaside town, is perfect for running and boating. Mari and her family have two delicious restaurants there, Hamabe no Chaya and Yama no Chaya. You can also take day trips to the nearby islands of Ojima and Kudaka, perfect for riding bikes in a totally secluded area. There is a tremendous amount of U.S., Japanese, Okinawan, Korean, and Chinese history to learn in Okinawa. I recommend visiting Okinawa's Peace Memorial Park, as well as touring the caves where many locals sought refuge during the war. Okinawa's lush scenery, gorgeous beaches, watercolor sunsets, friendly locals, and unique cuisine are unforgettable. Look for local artisans near the beach selling pottery and local gifts. I recommend flying into Naha, grabbing a rental car, and staying close to Mibaru Beach, Tamagusuku, or Motobu Beach. Go explore off the beaten path with a friend or loved one. The beaches in some areas are still secluded, and there's so much biking, swimming, fishing, snorkeling, hiking, and boating to be done. What makes Okinawa so memorable is its very special culture of resilience, gamam, and the beautiful people. Osaka. After Tokyo, Osaka is Japan's second largest city and is best known for its diverse cuisine. Locals call it the foodies city, as its restaurants and variety of foods are much more concentrated than in Tokyo. The locals are big-hearted and direct, speak their own dialect, and love to show off their hospitality. Be sure to check out Dotonbori for eats, shopping, nightlife, and exploration. Try the takoyaki, octopus balls, okonomiyaki, local beer, I love ebisu, yakitori, and udon noodles. Mom and I spent some quality time here together, trying out all the local eats and enjoying the nightlife and the local festivals. I will forever and always love Osaka for its memorable meals, shopping, and potential for getting lost and aimlessly exploring like any good tourist. Tokyo. When the wheels touch down in Tokyo, my heart always says, "You are home." I recommend seeing Meiji Shrine and Shibuya Crossing, Shibuya Scramble Crossing. Grabbing sushi down a dark alleyway, eating as much tempura and mochi as you can find, drinking Japanese beer, and enjoying yakitori with the locals at an izakaya late at night. In Tokyo, you'll be close enough to see Mount Fuji and visit scenic Kamakura, the place where my mom and dad met at the Great Buddha. This place is sacred to me and to so many others who view its powerful offerings. For the past 6 years, Mom and I have spent special bonding and research time together in Tokyo with her longtime college friends. We always purchase bento, lunch boxes, at the local Depachika. Department stores in Japan have a lower level that's full of delicious groceries. Depachika translates to department store basement. And then take the local JR Yamanote line to Ueno Park and enjoy our bento in front of the Tokyo Metropolitan Art Museum, where my grandfather's impressionist paintings were once displayed. Tokyo is also where my mother attended university and became a school teacher in her early 20s. It was special to me to retrace my mom's footsteps with her in the city of her youth. Mount Fuji. Fujisan, as the Japanese call it, is about 1 hour by Shinkansen, bullet train, from Tokyo. Climbing season is short and crowded, July 1st to September 4th, and the top can be cold and muddy, so come prepared. Research before you climb and, if you prefer, book a group climb and stay at a climber's hut when you get near the top. I went to Mount Fuji solo, as a holy healing experience. I packed my onigiri and water, wore my comfiest clothes, a headlamp at night, and gloves. I stayed in a mountain hut, which I highly recommend. You will have to reserve this hut in advance before your climb. I froze my buns off at the top, so be certain to bring more layers for up there. If you calculate it just right, you can watch the sunrise from the mountaintop. I felt very close to God in that moment. Fujisan is a UNESCO heritage site and an immensely popular destination for Japanese people and tourists alike. You can climb the whole mountain in 1 day or 2, depending on your skill level. But please, kyotsukete ne. Be careful. When you finish your climb, devour miso shiru, gohan, and tsukemono at the mountain-based restaurants. Follow a bite with a trip to a local onsen to relax your achy muscles. Sado Island. Just off the west coast of Niigata lies Sadogashima, a big infinity-shaped island populated by approximately 55,000 people. My incredibly talented friend, Chef Kuniaki Osaki, took me under his wing to gather local wild mushrooms with his adventurous family during my last stay. Remember to forage only with an expert, as you want to be sure you're harvesting mushrooms that are safe to eat. I did everything here. Apple picking, persimmon harvesting, watching locals bake fresh Japanese banana bread, and forest bathing, followed by a lunch we cooked with my generous guide, Fujiko. I got to spend time with some American teachers in the JET program here and see their curious perspectives on the quiet island of Sado. I will never forget the people of Sado. Kind, polite, independent, and always graceful. They gave me many gifts I cherished. Sado rice, special Sado nuts, and the island's local sweetener. If you're looking for a peaceful and quiet destination, Sado is definitely one of the most laid-back places I've ever visited. I met so many special people on this trip and will never forget how welcome they made me feel.
Domo arigato, Sado.
Niigata. Niigata is known as the sake prefecture, as it has the perfect climate for producing sake rice and is home to over 90 sake breweries. The local skiing in the winter is some of the best in the world, and I highly recommend hitting the slopes, followed by a hot onsen bath. I only had a short time here, in the mountain town of Echigo Yuzawa, but the locals were incredibly gracious hosts. We did some local research at a fascinating 400-year-old tsukemono factory where they still do everything by hand like the good old days. I stayed at a lovely old ryokan, inn, called Hatago Isen, which was conveniently located by the train station. The onsen, plus the local sake, was my favorite part at the end of our adventures in Niigata. Kyoto. After Nara and before Tokyo, Kyoto was the capital city of Japan for more than a millennium, from 794 to 1869. Kyoto is known for its many temples and shrines, classic architecture, geisha and maiko culture, and a passion for the traditional arts and kaiseki cuisine. Kyoto is full of wonderful hosts, and its people are rightfully proud of their beautiful city. A foodie could spend an entire day at Nishiki Market. Kyoto is famous for its cherry blossom viewing, hanami in Japanese, as well as for its sacred and stunning temples and shrines. Taste local Kyoto specialties like saikyo miso and kitsune udon, and treasure Kyoto's local pottery, artisans, and stunning sunsets. I must note, over the years, Kyoto has become much more crowded compared to the times I went there as a child. I still recommend doing the incredibly memorable Fushimi Inari Shrine Torii Gate hike, but I recommend going early or later in the day to avoid crowds. A few of my other favorite stops are Kinkakuji, Temple of the Golden Pavilion, Kyomizudera Temple for its stunning views, and the shopping at Nishiki Market, in off-peak hours, shouldn't be missed. And finally, Kyoto is where I first studied the sacred practice of kintsugi with Tsuyoshi-san, a highly skilled kintsugi artist. You can still find some of the world's most precious pottery at Robert Yellen's Yakimono Gallery, and you will most certainly find the spirit of kintsugi and the magic of Kyoto all over this historical UNESCO heritage city. The seed of everything I've talked about in this book was planted in Kyoto, a city very special to me for this reason.
Hey again, it's Candace here to read you a little note from my mom. Dear friends, 友達の皆さん, traditional Japan is changing rapidly, just the same as everywhere else in the world. Open society, open world trade, open free speech. So many choices, so many changes. To a certain extent, the Japanese are losing their traditional ways. Perhaps the Japanese aren't as unique as they once were before. But still, we're living in between the old and the new. The Japanese have tried to find a uniqueness in the fusion of cultures. Before our unique Japanese culture fades away, please come and visit Japan. We welcome you. Sincerely, Candace's mom. Love you, Mom. Acknowledgements.
Dear Furensu, 友達の皆さん.
This book is for those whom I honor and owe a deep debt of gratitude. Thank you for being supportive, kind, knowledgeable.
Domo arigato gozaimashita.
For mom, you're an incredible example for us all. Thank you, okasan, for your humility, knowledge, and grace, or what make you the world's Japanese sensei. You're the reason this book came to life. You're the heart behind the inspiration of Japan. On each page you helped me. Thank you. This book is for you. To Dad, the most devout husband, dad, and humble guy, thanks for being an example and hero for Jenny and me. Your open mind and selfless ways are why we devote our lives to others. To Jenny, this is us. You inspire me to stay loyal and confident. I look up to you, I honor our upbringing, and I thank you for all of your help in Japan. You're a guiding light to me. To my Kumai family, Takuko Nechan, Takuko Kumai, and the Tanaka family, I'm grateful for all the years that we've spent together and the knowledge of our family's history and traditions. Domo. To my Gwizdowski family, thank you, Aunt Sally, Uncle John, Mikey, and the Casa Grande family. Thank you for your undeniable support. To the Inafuku family, Anne Marie, thank you for sharing your family. To Yoshiko and Nobu and Tetsu-san, domo arigato gozaimashita. We are praying for Nobu's spirit. To Hiromi Aoki and Oyoki Isao-sensei in Okinawa, thank you for your time and sincere knowledge. I'm grateful for all that you shared with Jenny and me in Okinawa. To Yuki Yuka and Noda in Shikoku Island, to Osaki-san and your family, Fujiko and friends, and V in Sado Island, I thank you. For my guides and locals in Ia Valley, Noto, Matsuyama, Hiroshima, Niigata, Sado, and all over Japan, domo arigato. To the monks of Japan, Koya-san, Shikoku, and beyond, I honor you and your light. Thank you. To Julie Will, my editor who pushed me to do greater things, thank you for pushing me to my limits and to the edge of the mountains of Japan, and for all of your hard work. For Karen Rinaldi, thank you for your support, your knowledge, and your caring devotion to my work and the country of Japan. I am so grateful to be publishing my work with you, Karen. Domo arigato. For Eve Adderman, my literary agent to the stars. Thanks, Eve. Domo arigato gozaimasu. For believing in my work, and you are a true woman of grace. For Andy McNichol, for showing me how to be strong, how to be a better author, and for being an example. Thank you, Andy. To these angels, Christina Suarez, Constantina Canugres, Jade Rosenberg, Daniela Zamora, Rocky Owens, Olivia Boyce, Larissa Loza, Kellyanne Rooney, Liz Lombardi, Candace Staley, Jen Batchelor, Cecilia Smith, I couldn't have done it without you and your devotion. You came into my life with passion and grace and hard-working minds. Thank you. To my Japanese editors, Miho Kumai Gwizdowski, Mom, Sayori Kurioka, Natsuko Aoki, Yukari Sakamoto, Natsuko Yamawaki, and Yuki Kuzuhara, domo arigato gozaimasu. For your editorial knowledge, thank you. I honor our culture, and your help has been valuable. For Lauren Scharf, my sensei, mentor, and friend, I am grateful and owe a debt of gratitude to you for sharing our beloved Japan. Thank you to Mark Lakin for the intro. To Kazuhiro Yamazaki Sensei, for sharing wisdom with me and all of your students, I am grateful. I look forward to your emails. Domo arigato. To Caroline Donofrio, our edits and laughter make me smile. You're talented and such a gem. Thank you. For Marcella Contreras, I love you and your incredible artwork. Domo arigato. For Sarah Haugen, for your dedication and hard work. Thank you. For Bonnie Leon Berman, Thank you for the love and beautiful layouts. For Rona Tison, my mentor and sensei, thank you for teaching me what it is to be Japanese American. I'm proud to speak with you and to honor our heritage together. For James Higa, my mentor and sensei, for your mentorship, you are a light to so many of us with your humility and wisdom. Domo arigato. To my WME IMG family, my Justin, Eve, Andy, Scott, Julie, Googs, Jenny, Maddie B, Rob, Bethany, Dave, Amir, a devotional thank you for being my family for so long. Can't stop, won't stop. To Strand Conover, my devout agent, you give me life, work, forever grateful. To Francesco Sersale and Taylor Rondesvet, you're beyond the world. Thank you. To my Japanese culinary instructors, Elizabeth Ando Sensei, Yukari Sakamoto, Mom, and my great auntie Takuko, thank you. I learn from only the best. To the U.S. Japan Council, Japan Society, Little Tokyo Service Center, and Morikami Museum, thank you for preserving our heritage. For my besties, Dana Hamilton, Courts Looney, Steph Arine, Michelle Halpern, Molly Sandman, Sejal Shah, Meredith Sherwood, and my band of besties. I couldn't live without your love. Life is fab and hilarious because of you. To my well and good sisters, thank you Liz Plosser, Emily Lawrence, Hannah Weintraub, Jordan Galloway, Molly, Rachel, Ella, Erin, Jenna. My devout gratitude. To this incredible team of experts I'm honored to work with, Michelle Halpern, Hannah Kirshner, Dylan Going, Savannah Stark, Julia Kanea, Robert Reyes, Sophie Salo, Eric Vivia, James Clater, Carlos Garcia, Raul Santos, thank you for your hard work. I am proud to know you. To Jack Jeffries, your photography is magic. Thank you. To Kevin Kim, devotionally love your photos. Carol Lee and Rebecca Grant, you helped me in tremendous ways, especially with photo integrity. Thank you. For Bob Lang, Jill Smith, Marco Kuo, to Phil Gordon and Alex Sevilla, and Silva, thanks for being my support system and my family. I'm grateful for your hard teamwork. Thank you. For my wellness sisters, Sarah Harbison, Sarah Merrill, Natalie Euling, Rebecca Kennedy, Catherine Budig, Vinti Bhatnagar, Rachel Farrow, Jessamine Stanley, Carrie Glassman, Lee Holmes, and Mikkel Hill, and to my friends at the Maui Lulu Immersion, I support and love each of you. Thank you. To Yelena and Erica at Harper Wave PR, to the lives we inspire with your expertise, thank you. To the girls, Christina, Andy, Tina, Suze, Alyssa, Molly Lovin, Janelle, Julie, Crystal, Jess Bowman, Kristen Arnett, Indy Lee, Amy Duffy, Jess Morse, squad from Cali to NYC, I love you and thank you for being my friends. For our years of growth, I honor our friendship. To the boys in NYC, Barry Parasram, Brandon Trentham, Matt Padgett, Akhtar Nawab, Marco Canora, Adam Rosante, Richard Rivero, Rocco Despirito, keep killing it. To those I admire, Dr. Mehmet Oz, Ariana Huffington, Elizabeth Goodman, Michelle Promuleko, Gabby Bernstein, Sophia Amoruso, Alexia Brew, Melise Galula, Marie Kondo, and Dan Buettner, thank you. I'm grateful for your contributions, for being prime examples for the world to follow. To my friends at Itoen, Vitamix, Bob's Red Mill, Corin, Mia, Marukan, ABC Carpet and Home, Eden Foods, Spectrum, Adidas, Madewell, Free People, Amour Vert, and Joie, domo arigato, grateful for you. To my loyal fans, I humbly thank you. You make me feel comfortable in sharing my story, and my hope is that you will do the same and share your story of Kintsugi wellness with the world. To the country and people of Japan, to those who shared your heart and your country, May you live knowing your heritage and traditions will be admired for centuries.